Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Dustin Gostescu and I'm an associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at McMaster University, where I practice as a family planning and sexual health specialist. A group of us attended the European Society of Gynecology conference in Venice, from our homes, of course, in earlier November. And what we wanted to do was provide you with some rapid access to some of the content and some of the sessions that were there in the hopes of helping to apply some clinical pearls to your practice. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Jacques Balela, who's going to be talking to us about one of the sessions that he was able to attend. Dr. Balela, why don't you tell us about yourself and what you learned?
Thank you, Dr. Gostescu. It's a pleasure to be here, and it was a pleasure to attend actually this ceremony, this presentation rather. I am an obstetrician gynecologist based in Montreal, Canada, affiliated with McGill University. And I have an interest in clinical science, basically, and perinatal epidemiology, but also dabble in research involving fertility and potential for fertility preservation. So I am very glad to have picked this abstract to talk to you all today, and I hope that that you'll enjoy it the way that I did. As Dr. Gostescu just mentioned, this was an abstract from the European Society of Gynecology, the ESG Congress, which took place in Italy. This was on based rather on a Bayer Ambassador Program for the editorial meeting of this Congress. The title of the abstract is the following: is the adverse prognostic of low AMH the same for young and old women? This was an abstract that was presented by Dr. Joël Balache-Allard from France. To begin, we'll talk a little bit about the background, the myth of the quote-unquote good AMH. We know that in consultation as obstetrician gynecologists, we are seeing increasingly a number of women who are delaying their childbearing and requesting a fertility assessment, sometimes before they have even tried to conceive. The idea being, can they reasonably and safely wait? Or rather, will they miss out on their natural fertility? In the infertile population, we know that anti-Müllerian hormone, or AMH, is an excellent predictor of ovarian response to assisted reproductive techniques, but it is weakly associated with implantation or pregnancy rates and live births. The question then becomes, what about the use of AMH in the general population? So the questions that were addressed by the topic at hand in the abstract that we are talking about today are the following. Since AMH levels do not vary generally during the menstrual cycle, could they be prognostic of fertility in the general population? Secondly, what is the value of AMH for women who don't want a baby right now? And finally, and perhaps more importantly for the topic at hand, in the infertile population, is the prognostic factor or the prognostic value of AMH independent of age? And that is maternal age. So we know that, at least up until a few years ago, the value of the anti-Müllerian hormone assay in the general population, not including assisted reproductive technologies, was quote unquote contradictory. But we have learned over the years, that this isn't really the case. And we'll see in a moment how that is. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists suggests that in 2019, that using anti-Müllerian hormone levels for fertility counseling in women without a diagnosis of infertility is not currently supported by high quality evidence. A single AMH level does not appear, in fact, to be useful in predicting time to pregnancy and should therefore not be used for counseling patients in this regard. And so they conclude by stating that at this time, routine AMH testing for prediction of pregnancy is not recommended. Once again, this is for the general population. What about the value of the anti-Müllerian hormone for women who do not want a baby right now? And this is kind of the false good idea of the fertility checkup. We say that it is a good idea to have a fertility checkup simply because it allows an opportunity to assess lifestyle, tobacco use, diet, weight, environment, that can actually, all of which can actually impact your fertility, your natural fertility. It gives you an ability also to touch base with your physician, your healthcare provider, and establish that therapeutic relationship for the ensuing pregnancy. But it is, quote unquote, a bad idea to do a fertility checkup because the ideal marker for fertility doesn't actually exist. The least bad, quote unquote, being a woman's age. Nevertheless, this does not apply to cases of fertility preservation, in which case the value of AMH, particularly in preparation for stimulated cycles, is actually quite critical. What about now in the infertile population? What is the prognostic value of the anti-Müllerian hormone? We know, for example, that there was a big study published in Fertility and Sterility by Tal and colleagues that looked at the prediction of the AMH hormone for live births using, or following rather, assisted reproductive techniques. And they analyzed 85,000 IVF cycles and realized that there was a slight advantage of, but barely statistically significant, that is the confidence interval crossing one, that the AMH levels that were somewhat higher in the live birth group versus the group that did not have a live birth. Then again, that is very slightly statistically significant and may therefore not be clinically significant. So for patients that are undergoing assisted reproductive technologies, AMH has demonstrated value to aid in the choice of proposed techniques, the protocols for ovarian stimulation, and the dosage of gonadotropins. And in practice, it has been recommended by the European Society of Human Reproduction and NICE since 2013, but the prognostic value depends on the age of the woman. So AMH has limited predictive value for IVF outcomes at the extremes of female reproductive age, that is very early in the reproductive lifespan and very late in the reproductive lifespan of a woman. In cases of low AMH levels, however, the probability of achieving pregnancy is reasonable if the patient's age is not very advanced. That's to say that age plays a larger role in the prediction of success and live birth than does the AMH level. And so the key message is therefore, AMH levels should not and actually cannot be used as an independent predictor of reproductive outcome. The study that they sought in France by the author and colleagues was a single center retrospective study from 2012 to 2018, where they examined 3,215 cycles and they divided their cohort into three categories: those that are less than 35 years undergoing, again, assisted reproductive techniques, those between the ages of 36 and 38, and those above age 38. This study was conducted between 2012 and 2018. So what were the delivery rates per oocyte retrieval according to age and AMH values? Once again, we see the three categories that divide the cohort, less than 35, and then each of those categories is then further subdivided into two, a binary classification of AMH less than one and AMH greater or equal to one. And we see here once again that below age 35, an AMH that is low actually yields significantly higher live births than women over 38 with similar AMH values. That is to say, age seems to be, once again, a better predictor of success and delivery rates than the level of AMH itself. The same thing applies between 36 and 38. And so if we see, once again, that increasing maternal age is really the best predictor of success or failure of an ART cycle. What is the delivery rate now per oocyte retrieval for women whose age predicted, quote unquote, bad cases? And what is bad cases defined as here is a high FSH level and a low AMH. So we know, once again, this time the cohort was subdivided into two, women less than 38 and women above 38, both with FSH levels higher than 10 and AMH levels less than one. And we see that once again, even in the quote unquote bad cases of women below 38 years, the delivery rates were significantly higher than those above 38. Once again, indicating that despite a poor ovarian reserve, younger women have better pregnancy rates. So we conclude today in 2021 beyond really any controversy or reasonable doubt that AMH is really useful for selection of ovarian stimulation protocols, for adapting doses of gonadotropins, and for avoiding ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome. And so the key messages when it comes to counseling our patients is to discuss AMH to predict success rates, especially in young women, and to not eliminate young women with low ovarian reserve because their prognosis as far as pregnancy is concerned can actually be quite good despite even being quote unquote in a bad case. So to conclude, for infertile women, AMH levels are a valuable management tool and its prognostic value is actually clear in older women, but it should not be used to exclude younger women from ART or to advise them of a poor prognosis. In the general population, however, there is no evidence to date that AMH is a marker of fertility. And once again, there is no reliable marker of fertility except a woman's age. There is therefore no indication for assessing AMH levels as a fertility test in younger women. And despite, I mean, the fact that AMH may not be predictive of live birth in the general population, there is still a use in the general population who is seeking to do fertility preservation and therefore may need to have a stimulation protocol adapted to her specific case. So my perspectives on this study, which I thought was actually quite interesting and in keeping with the literature about the prognostic value of AMH, is that these were really pertinent questions to examine because the breadth of AMH utility is still not fully understood. AMH could be a useful tool for women seeking fertility preservation, but as we know, for the general population, they are not informative. And so we should focus our counseling on optimizing the chances of fertility as a function of age in the individual patient by addressing lifestyle factors that may actually enhance the natural fertility. In the Canadian infertile population, which has similar distribution of AMH values as a function of age, the findings from this study may actually be extrapolated to our practice. But once again, for assessing ovarian reserve, really age remains the most significant factor. And this confirms prior beliefs about the importance of age in the infertile population. What I thought was interesting, but not entirely addressed in this particular study, was the potential use of AMH in the general population for other the diagnosis of other conditions, notably the establishment of menopause or the diagnosis of PCOS. And both these conditions are being studied currently in the context of different AMH levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Balayla. It's always important for us to review topics where, you know, resource stewardship is really valuable, right? We have tests in many parts of the country that are non-funded or funded with a lot of restriction, and trying to understand how they get used is really important, particularly, for example, myself as a generalist, I'm referring patients to fertility clinics. And sometimes we have that urge to want to help our colleagues by ordering tests in advance of that. You've brought up the issue of age a few times as sort of that predictor. And I'm wondering if you could maybe help the clinicians who are watching in terms of how do you counsel your own patients about age? Do you have certain numbers you use in mind for that younger patient that's trying to figure out when they should start or when they should start worrying?
Yeah, certainly. So I tend to speak primarily of two criteria when I'm trying to counsel patients for fertility. And this is, of course, in a general setting, not in a fertility clinic per se, certainly age. And we tend to use 35 as a threshold for age cutoff in terms of a notable reduction in ovarian reserve. And this is usually when I tend to bring about, particularly in patients that have either certain conditions that are known to be associated with infertility or patients that are in some social situation that might require them or that might be encouraged by doing ovarian cryopreservation. Now, the other factor that I tend to use, which they didn't address so much in this study, was the obstetrical history of the patient, right? A patient that gets pregnant quite easily and that has gotten pregnant multiple times, whose partner has no known infertility issues, at least as far as the male factor is concerned. That tends to be a factor that I consider into the equation, at least in theory, to suggest that patients that even despite what a potential biochemical value might show that AMH is low or the FSH is high, that your prior obstetrical history is actually quite predictive of success in the future, so long as, you know, it hasn't been say 20 years since you had your last pregnancy, and you're trying once again to conceive at a significantly higher maternal age. That's kind of my approach to it. Obviously, in the context, I tend not to do general fertility testing for the general population, but instead use that time really to address the expectations of the patient, any potential chronic illnesses or conditions that might actually impact or hinder the potential establishment of pregnancy, and then discuss basically the natural variations in the menstrual cycle and the natural window of fertility that a woman might actually engage in intercourse to conceive. When those doubts are cleared and the woman has had a kind of a preconceptional counseling that I think is conducive to a healthy pregnancy, then if the woman is below 35 years old, I tend to let them wait a year before we refer them to fertility clinics. And then if they're above 35, we tend to wait maximum of 6 months, assuming once again that their health is optimized and that there are no conditions that are associated with infertility that might hinder that process.
And speaking to that kind of worried well patient, what are three tips you would tell the average Canadian woman to help improve their odds of fertility and optimize their health prior to pregnancy? What are your take home points for those people?
So certainly my suggestion is always, you know your body, know your menstrual cycle, try to understand to whatever degree is possible, be it with, you know, temperature curves or the middle schmerz for pain for ovulation. Just know when you are at risk of getting pregnant, so that you know the time comes, when the time comes that so that you want to become actually pregnant, you know exactly the right time to do it. Certainly, if there is any remote issue with a chronic condition, be it psychological or physical, I try to address that in whatever capacity. And finally, you know, beginning certainly preconceptionally to taking your prenatal vitamins and to optimize any of your kind of, for example, medications that you might be taking that might actually hinder your ability to get pregnant, then either, you know, go through the process of that preconceptional process where you're trying to wean patients off, for example, certain teratogenic medications before they get pregnant. But also, for example, using your colleagues there to give you a hand if need be about optimizing somebody's chances of actually becoming pregnant. So there's no standard protocol for each individual patient, but I think depending on their situation, I would tend to, attempt the different solutions based on each individual patient, so that I think in at least they're comfortable with the plan, and at least in an objective way, we can move forward and attempt conception in the months that are coming.
That's great. You know, as a contraceptive person, I think it's always important that, you know, I and we are thinking about the other side of that, which is when, you know, conception resumes and fertility. Yeah. Always great to be thinking about these things. Dr. Boya, thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise and your interest with us today.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.